Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope people. Jared and Shane here for another Scope summer movie preview. I haven't been here for the last couple months.
He's been on vacation.
I'm back.
Vacation lad.
We are
Summer boy.
Guess what, Jared? We are in the last month of summer.
The dog days.
The dog days. Well, some might say the dumping ground of summer movies. And we're here to review a movie that might be considered part of that pack. Of course, we're talking about the
Fantastic Four.
No,
we're not here to pile on that one.
We're talking about
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E. This is a movie inspired by a television program, which Jared and I knew nothing about, and I told you before the review I was
called The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Indeed. I was going to do a lot of research on this. I was going to find out all about it, and guess what? I didn't. The one thing that I know is that it was a show that was never on syndication.
Okay.
It was maybe talked about in hushed tones back in the day, but I've never seen an episode, so I knew it was a spy show. That was it.
Yeah. Maybe knowing the style and the tone of the TV show might have clued us into how this movie was going to be staged,
but we went
in blind,
so there we go. It's an interesting film because it is a Guy Ritchie film.
Who has
done some good films in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Snatch.
A long time ago.
Yeah, he seems to have lost that mojo from the mid-90s and early 2000s, and now he's just doing television program movies now. I don't know. But, Jared, tell us about the film. Tell us who's in it.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Get too crazy on the plot, because I know you
don't
want
to. I remember the plot.
Oh, boy.
I'll be honest. All right, so our main two leads are Henry Cavill, Superman himself.
Yep. Looking buff.
Very buff. Probably more buff than a 1960s gentleman would be, but what are you going to do?
He definitely had that Superman body.
He did. We have Armie Hammer, which, surprisingly, they let him do another summer film after the bomb that was The Lone Ranger.
And guess what? He is related to the Armand Hammer. I learned that on the radio, that he is actually heir to the Armand Hammer fortune.
Well, good. I guess he has a fallback if this acting thing doesn't work out.
Holy crap. Did we just...
Somebody fired up their Harley.
Wow.
Outside.
It sounded like a bomb.
All right.
Anyway. 0 stars.
Holy shit. There you go.
Now we got a red band review, Jared. Thanks.
I know. Anyway, I think it's Alicia Vikander or something like that.
Do you recognize her from anything?
No, I don't.
Okay.
There's two female leads in this. I don't know them from anything else, and I don't remember what her name is. Hugh Grant makes an appearance.
Mm-hmm. Charming as ever. Charming to the last.
Yes. Another dude as the American handler. I forgot his name. Jared Harris.
And Jared Harris.
He was on Mad Men for a while.
And he was in Fringe as well. He was great in Fringe. Yeah. I'm sure he was great in Mad Men.
He plays a very affected American CIA handler.
Yeah. Sort of a douche.
Sort of a douche, but maybe playing off that 60s tough guy, you know, business type. I don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, Henry Cavill is Napoleon Solo. He is apparently a art thief or just a general...
a former art thief.
High-end thief who was basically caught and decided that instead of going to jail, he is going to work for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Armie Hammer is unnamed Russian super spy, KGB agent.
And for the record...
Ilya something. Every time his name was said, it was mumbled, so I barely caught it.
Did we say that this film took place...
1960s Cold War?
Early 1960s,
right.
So there you go.
Starts out in Berlin, goes to Rome.
Yep.
That's about it.
Essentially, they have to stop a nuclear bomb from exploding, and they're doing that by working by... Extracting a East German... gal to get her to lead them to her father who was making this bomb.
Yeah, her father was apparently a Nazi rocket scientist.
Yep. But not really a Nazi.
But forced to work for them, of course, because we can't root for a Nazi. But he's been missing for a couple of years now, and so now they extract his daughter from East Germany.
To find him.
To go and try to find him.
Yep. And then all sorts of spying hijinks ensue.
Yeah. And then they force the American and the Russian to team up because...
Yep.
What's worse than America and Russia blowing each other up? Why some rogue entity blowing them up?
Yeah.
So
even in the 60s.
The greater good, I guess.
Yeah. So that is the plot. Jared, not only did we have that, but we got VIP seats again.
We did.
And the second time in a row we had VIP seats, we sat behind the most rude, insensitive people in the theater.
Raise your hand if you're the type of person who goes to the theater and just throws your arms back.
Literally put your hands around your head like this.
Around the head, just like you're at home, just watching a movie, not a care in the world. Never mind, there's people behind trying to see the screen.
Or if you stand up, randomly during the film.
You just gotta stretch. You just gotta stretch, Shane.
Or, you know, here's something I noticed. I know we're not going to talk about the movie, but this is really frustrates me. This guy leaned forward. This happened the last time. He was such a hefty man that he mm-hmm. would lean forward rather than leaning back. So these seats are made in such a way mm-hmm. that when you would lean forward,
yes,
like you see more of somebody's head there.
Yes, and he had a big head.
He was a giant man.
I mean, and he just had to get that popcorn.
And his wife got up how many times during the film?
I don't know.
Just to get up.
Preponderance. The movie going experience is. Yeah. It's interesting.
It didn't help the film, but let's be honest, it was not a great film.
I would agree on that.
Before you rip into it,
go ahead. I
will talk about what I liked about it. I liked...
Cocking my gun.
I appreciated the style of the film.
Okay.
I felt that Guy Ritchie knows what he wants to do, and there was a cool suaveness to it all. But... it was so understated in every single way that it was sleepy. And it wasn't really all that engaging. Like, I was excited to see sort of the cool 60s, the mod fashion, and it just, nothing was notable. That was the problem.
So, it wasn't 60s enough to be a period film, and it wasn't modern enough to be sort of a commentary on modern society as seen through a 1960s lens.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he wanted it to be a period piece. I'm yelling over you, I'm sorry. But don't you think that he wanted to be a 60s vibe? More of a 60s period piece and just didn't quite get there or didn't have the budget?
I think that he did want it to be a 60s piece because there's some gender roles and some just character dynamics that are very much throwbacks to the 1960s. Part of the problem is you see those now, and you're just like, ugh,
they don't
really
feel right. They feel
that's how people were. It just seems bad and really, really sexist. And
who knew?
It bothered me.
In those days, Jared, nobody smoked.
Yeah, really, there wasn't.
You would see cigarette smoke from time to time, but nobody ever smoked. Which,
that's
in reality,
a little
everyone was smoking. And I suppose if you do that, you end up having a rated R movie or whatever it happened, whatever the what they want it to be. But
yeah,
like you said, it didn't feel like it quite went far enough. And I think, I'm assuming the movie was PG-13.
Probably.
So,
there wasn't any vulgar language, nudity, or anything like that. So, yeah.
I mean, the acting was what it was. I just think the problem with this film is there's nothing that stood out, period.
I had a hard time figuring out what the goal of this film was. Because at times it was just a light little romp, a light little spy romp. Sometimes it was very campy.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it was like, we're going to take a dark pivot, but then we're going to forget about that dark pivot and go right back to being silly and campy. It's like, okay, where am I supposed to... Where's my headspace supposed to be in this film? I'm just confused.
Where do you plant your feet on this? And it was impossible to find.
Unfortunately for me, it was like... because some of the fundamentals weren't strong enough and established well enough, that I felt like some of the stylistic flourishes just didn't work.
They fell flat.
To me, it's like if you had a nice strong framework and a real clear point of view and a voice that you were going for, then you throw the little stylistic things on top of it, and it's just beautiful frosting on a delicious cake.
This
was just, I don't know. I just didn't feel like anything specific was going on, and I was waiting for that to happen. Now, there were a couple moments here and there where you got a nice little line delivery, but more often than not, like you said, it was really understated.
Too understated. Muted.
I felt like there wasn't some... our lead characters, at least one of them, Napoleon, there was almost no character development, and he's paper thin. He is what he is. He's a very capable man.
Yeah.
Who's very good at what he does.
He's a former bad guy type.
But there's really nothing. There's no, like, dark center. There's no, like, intrigue. It's just, he's just a cool character who can take care of business.
Yep.
And happens to find a bottle of wine when he needs it.
And the dynamic between the Russian guy and the East German gal, they sort of throw this romance in there immediately, which... maybe
it makes a little more sense if you know how the film is going to end up. I think what she's doing makes a little more sense. But in the moment, you're like, where did this come from? It this didn't... is nowhere.
Yep.
This just came out of nowhere. Some of the stuff I did like, let's not completely destroy the film. I thought the cinematography was interesting. Mm-hmm. I think it was a specific choice to go with, to me, what looked like a vintage lenses. I don't know if he shot this on film or digital, but it looked like it was shot on film.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain vintage softness to the lensing. The color palette was your standard, you know, desaturated period color palette, but it really works for this type of film. So I enjoyed that. And I thought there were some really interesting sort of compositions in the framings. You saw a lot of, you played a lot with reflections.
Yep.
And stuff like that. So
sometimes
that was fun.
Sometimes it felt like it was just there to be a stylistic choice rather than a purposeful thing. But I mean, I'm sure all filmmakers and directors have the right to do that.
Sometimes you just do something because it's fun.
Yeah. But if you're going to do that, you have to have a underpainting of a good film,
right?
So you can appreciate that stuff.
Agreed.
So let's give this thing a quick score, and we'll be back to figure the rest out in a second.
The Scope score is 1.5 stars.
So 1.5 stars, not a great beginning to August, Jared.
No. There was a woman in the audience who hooped and hollered at every little possible opportunity. So
to the point where
some people might really enjoy this film.
But other people in the audience actually took note of that as well.
Yeah, they were
like laughing at her.
They were laughing at her whooping and hollering.
Yeah, like, boy, this is the funniest movie I've ever seen.
She probably, it was the hoop and holler of a type of person who doesn't go out to see a lot of movies and she was just having a good time, no matter what.
She actually really enjoyed the time when Napoleon put a napkin in his shirt.
After
she laughed, hoot and hollered, and then
I found a sandwich
and took a cork out of a bottle and started drinking that. That was hilarious.
It was.
All right, Jared, tell our listeners, tell our watchers, tell our viewers how they can get in touch.
You can like, comment, and subscribe. Subscribe.
You can
scribe.
Yes.
I want you to take up the ancient art of illumination and scribe your own book to us, please. Please get some vellum. If you can, you know, it's like an animal hide that's it's very, very high quality. I want you to get yourself a nice fine quill, maybe some sort of gold-flecked ink, and I want you to scribe your letters to us.
Wow. There you go. There you go. Like, comment, subscribe. So, for Jared, I am Shane. This has been the Man from U.N.C.L.E. Review. We'll be back with more reviews this summer and maybe even more scope before the leagues start to fall. So until then, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.